I'm Marco Werman with The World. There are many different battlefields in the fight against ISIS. Here's what the digital war sounds like.
Nous sommes Anonymous, nous sommes Légion, nous ne pardonnons pas, nous n'oublions pas, attendez-vous à nous.
That's from a video by the hacktivist group Anonymous. They've declared an online war on ISIS, a war that began nearly a year ago after the Charlie Hebdo attacks. This week, the group doubled down on its efforts against ISIS. To get a better sense of what that actually means, I called up Gabriella Coleman. She's the author of the book Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy, The Many Faces of Anonymous.
Really, their main intervention has been to attack and take down the social media propaganda machine. And what Anonymous has done primarily is try to locate all those Twitter accounts and report them. They have also tried to take down websites, and they've also infiltrated their forums to kind of gather intelligence as well.
You know, we've heard a lot about the kind of online and digital skills of ISIS, but I think Anonymous includes even more skilled warriors in the dark web. Who has the upper hand in this battle?
Anonymous does. Well, it is certainly the case that ISIS has attracted programmers, engineers. Nevertheless, the great majority of people who are attracted to ISIS don't have those computer skills, whereas many geeks and hackers are attracted to Anonymous. So just by numbers alone, more of them do have deeper technical skills.
How did Anonymous get into this fight ISIS business to begin with?
3 years ago, if you asked me, would Anonymous ever fight terrorists, I probably would have said no. It's not really something that was of interest to them. And it's also an operation that would align with U.S. geopolitical interests. Generally, they are kind of fighting the government, not working alongside the government. So it is very interesting that they've jumped into the fight against terrorism. And I do think that it can be explained in part by the Charlie Hebdo attacks. The important point here was that the terrorists attacked journalists. Anonymous, even though they have a difficult relationship with journalism, nevertheless believe in free press. And so they saw that terrorist attack as one against free press as well. And that helps to explain why they jumped in to the fold against terrorism at that particular point.
Right, because they see themselves as kind of defenders of free expression.
Absolutely. And had those attacks been against a different non-journalistic entity, perhaps OpISIS would have never existed.
Wow. I'm just curious how you believe Anonymous views themselves. I mean, for a lot of people right now going to fight ISIS, they look like knights in shining armor. We know also that some of their netizens are just in it for the trickster side of things, like changing traffic lights just because they could if they wanted to. So how do they see themselves?
The types of participants who are attracted to this come from different backgrounds and different walks of life. There are obviously people from France who are directly affected. This also attracts what I call military geeks and hackers. And finally, and most surprisingly, there have been participants from the Middle East. People logged in this morning from Syria saying, ISIS has affected us, they're killing us, how can we help?
Gabriella, finally, I mean, could you imagine a day when, like, the NSA or the CIA is actually working with Anonymous to take apart extremist groups?
I think it would be hard for the NSA to directly be working with Anonymous, only insofar as when it comes to many of Anonymous's other operations, they're getting arrested. That said, other groups like GoSec, they used to be far more aligned with Anonymous, but now they're disassociating themselves, are working with intelligence. And I believe they're able to work with intelligence organizations precisely because they've disassociated themselves with Anonymous, who otherwise pisses off the U.S. government and law enforcement goes after them.
Gabriella Coleman, the author of Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy, The Many Faces of Anonymous. Thank you, Gabriella. Good to speak with you again.
My pleasure.
We're looking at a game of whack-a-mole here.
That's Vice News reporter Avi Asher Shapiro, and he's talking about the battle that's been going on for a while now between the so-called Islamic State and operators of messaging apps and social media sites like Twitter. The administrators close down one account, ISIS comes up with another one. It's a never-ending cycle. Now the extremist group seems to be using a new application. It's called Telegram.
Telegram is a really simple app that the people who make it say is end-to-end encrypted, and you can use it almost as you would use WhatsApp or Facebook to distribute messages person-to-person. But the thing that's really helpful for the Islamic State is last month they introduced the new service called Feeds, where anyone can sort of tune in to a feed information from a single source, and you tune in anonymously, and you can see everything they're sharing in real time. And there's a number of these feeds that are managed by Islamic State propagandists. And that's where a lot of the messages coming out after the Paris attack were found. And that's where Islamic State researchers and experts and journalists turned to immediately to see if there would be a statement of responsibility, which eventually surfaced on one of their major feeds on Telegram.
And is it that anonymous quality of users checking into those feeds that has kind of been attractive to ISIS?
Perhaps. I mean, one thing that I think is really important to note is that we can never be sure how secure or safe these sorts of communications are. One thing that's really important to point out is that just in the last week alone, the Iranian intelligence and Egyptian intelligence have been able to roll up certain administrators who were using Telegram to disseminate what they said were terrorist information, or in Iran it was immoral information. So, I mean, the Islamic State obviously finds it to be useful at this moment. They've used a lot of different services in the past and gotten kicked off of things like Friendster. You know, they've used Twitter, but Twitter has done a good job of blocking their accounts. So the latest sort of clearinghouse for Islamic State propaganda seems to be Telegram. And the Telegram is started by two Russian brothers who, you know, had made it their calling to start an application that could evade Russian intelligence. And they're very, very stalwart about not shutting off channels, about not blocking people. They say it's a free speech issue. So unlike a lot of platforms where the Islamic State has spread its propaganda, so far Telegram will not kick them off. So that's a major reason why we're seeing them use it.
Have the authorities in France or the U.S. Asked Telegram to scrub ISIS from its platform? And how easy would it be to delete those users from Telegram?
You know, I don't know if they've asked them. I do know that in the days following the attack, Pavel Durov, the founder of the app, was quite clear saying that, you know, you can't blame an app for this sort of thing. It's a free speech issue. If you want to ban, he said something to the effect of, if you want to ban Telegram, you might as well ban words. And there was actually a move in the Russian Duma over the last week where some lawmakers were floating proposals to shut down Telegram. And it's been something that the app's administrators are sort of making a free speech issue.
Well, I know you've been following the feed. Aside from claims of responsibility for those attacks in Paris, what kind of things is ISIS posting?
I mean, I think that's something that people would be really surprised about. I mean, if you follow the Islamic State's social media, it really ranges from like grotesque executions and violence and military bravado to really mundane everyday stuff. I mean, if you sit down for half an hour, you'll see reports of health facilities opening up, doctors doing operations. I mean, you'll see public bus systems. You know, there's a whole range of media available. It's not just a place to disseminate like macabre snuff videos. And that's a main part of their propaganda, right? Just to say that life goes on here, life is normal here.
Avi Asher Shapiro, Vice News there. And there has been an update since my conversation earlier today with Avi. Telegram says it's now shut down some of those ISIS propaganda channels on its app.